First John chapter 4, verse 7 to verse 8 is our text this morning. Tilly has just given birth to her son, Fletcher. The midwife does, of course, all the checks that midwives love to do. And everything checks out. It's actually a perfect pregnancy and birth. So the midwife now gets hold of Fletcher and puts Fletcher on Tilly's chest. But Tilly feels no emotion, no love or warmth towards Fletcher at all. In fact, she only feels pity for herself. And as days pass, Tilly hates that Fletcher needs so much attention from her. In fact, in her own words, she says, "I hated losing my independence. I no longer felt like me anymore. So I started feeling a huge amount of resentment towards him." And yet, as time passes, she's filled with guilt. She knows that all mothers are meant to love their children. It pains her that she doesn't love Fletcher as she would like. As stories like Tilly's about the depression that some mothers face after childbirth, or as the experts call it, postnatal depression, reminds us that there is something in all of us that knows we are meant to love others, especially members of our own family. And when there is no love between family members, it pains those involved. Because we know that when there's no love within the human family, something terrible has gone seriously wrong. We are resuming our journey through the first letter of John. We've been in this now since the beginning of October. We have seen over the last few months that the key theme of the first letter of John is that all followers of Jesus are now a new family of God. And that's what it says at the heart of John. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1 says this. We looked at this. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are." And just like human families, as a new spiritual family of God, we are meant to love one another. And yet, as we sit here this morning, all of us know that all of us struggle with loving others as we are meant to love in Christ. And perhaps this is why the Apostle John, who's called the Apostle of Love, spends so much time in this letter, more than any other apostle, to explain to us what is love, why should we love, and how should we love one another. And these verses begin a new section, I've said, from verse 7 to verse 21, that really begins to unpack this love of God and the love we are meant to share as a family of believers. Let me read those verses again. It says this, "Beloved," verse 7 to 8, "let us love one another. For love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." And the key message in those verses, I mean, you could deduce it yourself just by looking at them, is surely this, that all children of God must love one another because what? God is love. All children of God, regardless of background, regardless of race, regardless of age, must love one another because God is love. And in front of you, I've set out an outline of just three things I wanted to share from this verse that explains that truth. The first truth John shares with us, we need to remember this morning, is that love comes from God. And the central claim of the Bible is that God is a source from which all rivers of love flow. We cannot know love without God. He says so in the first few lines of verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. Why? For love is from God. Now, different words mean different things to different people. So if I said to you, Donald Trump, what does that mean to you? To somebody, it might mean what? Strong leadership. America first. Strength. To another person, the name Donald Trump might mean the opposite. Bigotry. Incompetence. A danger to the world. Different words and names even mean different things, strike a different chord in us. So when you hear the word love, what comes to your mind? To some of us this morning, love is the affection you see between your parents. You've grown up in a very loving home, so when you think the word love, immediately what comes to you is that picture of your mom and dad. To some people, if you're in a relationship, the word love immediately strikes a chord of something that you see perhaps in your boyfriend or girlfriend. And if you're married, it's something that you see from the other person. The selfless sacrifice that has been invested in your life over 50 years. To you, that is love. And if you're in music, of course, love, you perhaps going to think what you see that Adele sings about or another famous artist. That is what many of us think of love. But you see, when the Bible talks about love, it does not start from us. When the Bible speaks of love, who does it start with? It starts with what? With God. Look at verse 8 again. It says, what does it say, verse 8? Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. And notice there in verse 8, it does not say love is God. Why doesn't it say that? Because there's more to God than love. There's holiness, there's justice, many other attributes of God. No, it says God is love. And notice it doesn't say God is loving. That is true. God is loving. He's a loving person. It simply says to us, though, that God is love. God is a source and ultimate measure of true love. In short, if you want to know what he's saying is, what John is saying is, if you want to know what love is, just look at God. All God knows is how to love. God is love to the bone, we might say. And love is not a decision that God makes. People debate, does God love this? Does God love this person? God doesn't have to make a decision about love. God is love. All God knows is how to love. I have to discriminate who I love sometimes. Human beings, we have to make deliberate decisions about how we show affection. But God is not like that. God is love. How do we know all of this? Because the Bible makes clear, as we saw 2 weeks ago, that God ultimately to his core is a relationship. It's a relationship of love between three persons. God the Son, God the Father, and God the Spirit. Before anything else was created, what was there? You might say nothing. No, there was love. God existed in a loving union with himself. Three persons, not three gods, three persons, yet one. And here is the key. What holds these three persons together? Love. Love is the glue that holds the Trinity of God together in perfect union. The inner life of God is held together by a love with no strings attached. It's held together by a love that it gives whole to one another, to each member of the Trinity. The Father gives himself to the Son completely. The Spirit gives himself to the Father completely without any preconditions. That is the love that exists in the inner life of God. And the only word the Bible can use to describe it is agape love. To distinguish it from other forms of love. And we see this love in the Bible. John 3, verse 35, you can turn to it. What did Jesus say in John 3, verse 35? Speaking of the love that the Father has for him, in John 3, 35, Jesus says this, "The Father loves the Son and has given," listen to this, "has given all things into his hands." What Jesus is telling us is that the love that the Father has for him is a love that loves Christ with everything. He has surrendered everything in his hands. He loves Jesus, his Son, full and free. Matthew 3, verse 16 to verse 17. Matthew 3, verse 16 to verse 17 says this. This is describing the baptism of Jesus. You remember this. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. And when Jesus was being baptized, this is what happened. Matthew 3, verse 16 to 17. "And when Jesus was baptized, he immediately went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said," what? "A voice from heaven said," what? "This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm," what? "I am well pleased." Do you see that? First of all, you look at that verse, you see the Trinity in action. You see God speaking from heaven, the eternal Father. You see the Spirit of God descending on Jesus like a dove. And you see the Son of God himself being baptized. In one moment in history, the three persons are fully displayed for all of us to see. And what does the Trinity proclaim? God proclaimed, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased." Notice, he is well pleased with the Son. Full of pleasure. Emotional pleasure and love. Because of course, he has what? Already given him all things. What these verses are telling us is that the love that comes from God is not like human love. It is a love that is unreserved, unconditional, eternal, and takes great delight and pleasure in the other person. Friends, to live with God is to be with a person whose very being oozes out love for you that never ends. It is to be with someone who's always loving you and enjoys, as Matthew Henry said, to love you. God doesn't just love you. He enjoys the fact that he loves you. Because he loves you with everything. Friends, where are you going to find that love in this world? Nowhere. Because God is a source of this love. And this changes everything for everyone in this room. Because you see, because this amazing love comes from God, it means that for us to truly love others, we need the direct intervention of God in our lives to enable us to love others. And this brings us to the second truth that John shares with us in front of you. Love, first of all, point one in your outline, comes from God. Therefore, only those born of God love others. Only those born of God truly love others. That's our second point. Now, all of us constantly shop for ideas on how best to love others. And the world is full of suggestions on how we can grow to love others. Agony aunts make money, of course, in the newspapers to advise us on how best we should be dealing with issues of love in our lives. Counselors, and many of them, are there to help us. If we're struggling with love, what? They are, you know, they're experts in these areas, and they're meant to help us. How do I love my family member who doesn't love me back? And they have ideas about how to do that. But you see, in all of these things, whether it's agony aunts, whether it's pop music, whether it's counselors, the advice they give us boils down to two things. Try harder and love yourself more. If that doesn't work, try very hard just to love. Just get on with it. Do it. Because love is just what you do. And we hear that from some sermons. Just try harder to love. Or if that doesn't work, just love yourself more. Because if you know, if you can't love yourself, you know, you can't love others. That's what the world tells us. But you see, the Bible tells us the opposite. The Bible says you cannot truly love as you are meant to love until God enables you to love. Until God gives you a new heart that truly loves. Why do you need a new heart? Because all human beings have what? Rebelled against God. We have all rejected. You know, the picture of human beings is like the London riots. That's us. When you saw the London riots where everybody is shopping for themselves, running and trying to do their own thing, that's the picture of the human condition. None of us want God because all of us have rebelled against Him. And the Bible says sin has ravaged us so much, every single area of our human relationship has been affected by it. We cannot love because we are sinners. In fact, the Bible says we are dead in our sins. So, in order for us to love as God intends, what needs to happen? God needs to give us new life. If you walk into the morgue, you won't find love in the morgue. Why? Because people are dead in the morgue, in the mortuary. So, new life must first be infused in us to enable us to love as we are meant to love. We must receive a new spiritual DNA from God Himself, marked on their love, that enables us to love. We must have this new capacity which God calls in the Bible to be born again. We need first to be born again to truly love others. Now, I know this sounds a bit offensive to some of you. Perhaps this morning you are not yet a follower of Jesus. And you're wondering, are you really saying I don't have any love because I have not surrendered my life to Christ? No. The Bible is saying that if you are not a follower of Jesus, you cannot love with the true love that comes from God. Your love, yes, may look like love, but it's a shadow of the real thing. It is a corruption of love as it's meant to be. Just as you can't expect apples to produce oranges, you cannot expect a person not born of God to show the love of God. For us to love others with the love that comes from God, we must first be what? Born again. And the sermon last week, of course, talked about this. It says that begins with acknowledging your sin. It is asking God to forgive your sin based on the death of Christ on the cross. It is total surrender, turning away from a life of sin and surrendering and living for Christ. That is what it means to be a Christian. And when you do that, God comes as a heart surgeon. He removes that dead heart and He puts in a new heart of love. He gives you this heart and He pours love within it, as Paul says to the church at Rome. The love of God has been what? Poured in our hearts. And He now enables us to love. So, for you to start loving, step number one is repentance and faith and trust in Christ. Now, maybe you are already a follower of Jesus this morning. This truth is also important. It changes how you relate to others in your life. First of all, if you have this love yourself, you need to recognize that other people around you who have not totally repented and come to faith in Christ cannot love as God loves. So you need to be patient with your family members. Your family members are, you know, very difficult. Perhaps they don't give you phone calls. They don't really care about you. They don't come to your birthdays. That's normal for the person who's unregenerate. You need to understand that. And so you must be patient with them. You must love them unconditionally. And you must pray every day for God to give them the capacity to love. Whether this is your grandma, or it's your daughter, or your son, or your cousin, or your brother you've never spoken to in years. You must recognize and be patient with them. And your love for them must be what? Unconditional. Because as we see this evening, that's how God loves us. And maybe you are exploring a relationship with someone. Perhaps you're a young person looking to get married in the future. Condition number one is to ensure that the person you want to marry truly is born again. Because if they are born again, they will love you and grow to love you with the love that comes from God. Do not settle for a corrupted love. As I said, this truth applies in every dimension of our lives. And perhaps you are a person who is married and your husband is not a believer. Be patient, be loving, be kind, and show that unconditional love that comes from God. And pray for them, for God to work in their hearts, to change their hearts and come to living faith in Christ. So two things we've seen. First of all, love comes from God. The second truth we've seen is what? What does that mean? The implication of that, if love comes from God, therefore only those who are born again or are born of God love others. That's the second truth. But these two truths are very important. They lead us to a third crucial truth. Because love is from God, this means all who claim to be born of God must love others practically. All followers of Jesus must love others. That's the third truth we are looking at this morning. All followers of Jesus love others. And as I said last week, we asked what? What is a true Christian? John has his own way of asking the same question that Paul was dealing with. John would ask you a different question. You want to know what a true Christian is? John would say, what is this? Do you love other followers of Jesus with the love of God? Do you want to know whether you are a true believer? Do you love other believers with the love that comes from God? Look at verse 7 and 8 again there in front of you. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. First of all, note there that when John says the one another, who is he talking about when he says love one another? He's talking about the people he's just spoken about. Beloved, loved ones. John is talking about true followers of Jesus. He's reminding us that the church is a new loving family of people who share the same fathers. The same father, I should say. And just as you naturally seek to love your human family, as we've said, you have a new nature that now enables you to love your new spiritual family in Jesus. So the question I want to ask you this morning is simply this. Do you love other followers of Jesus? Now, for some of us this morning, the answer is obvious. That we can look in our own heart and we know there is no love, for other followers of Jesus. Being in church for us is currently like being on a date. You like some parts of it, but you're still deciding. Is this new family really for me? Are these people really for me? And of course, the church, we would tell you, is where the love of God happens. It's where the life of God happens. And then the church is not perfect. We are not perfect. And that is the point. Because we belong together because we are sinners saved by God, who is making us grow every day to become the people we truly are in God. And when you truly repent and come to saving faith in Christ, you begin to love. And what I would encourage you is that if you haven't yet reached that point of true repentance and faith, you must first repent and come to Christ. And then you can grow to love together and discover the amazing love of Christ within this family. Because this is where the love of God happens. So turn to him now, is what John is telling us. Now for some of us, perhaps many of the rest of us, who consider ourselves followers of Jesus, the question is still the same. Do we love other followers of Jesus as God does? Now I wonder, do you find that as you grow older, people say to you, you look just like your mom? As time passes, do you find yourself increasingly saying to yourself, I am beginning to sound just like my dad used to sound? Well, the truth is that you are becoming like your dad. You are becoming like your mom because your mom gave birth to you. So don't be offended when people say that to you. And yet, even as you become more like her, what happens is you will never ultimately be like her, isn't it? Because there's only one you. And in the same way, you can never love as God loves. That's not what we're saying. That's not what John is saying. Because our Father is perfect. The love that the Spirit of God has for the Father and the Son is perfect. The love that the Father has for the Son is basking in eternal, unrestricted, eternal, you know, super duper love. You can never love ultimately as God does, because there's only one God, and it's not you, sorry. But John is saying that if you're truly born of God, you grow every day to become, and grow to become and love like God. You grow every day to love as he does, because his nature is in you. So the question we need to look ourselves this morning, we need to ask ourselves is this: as you look at your Christian life, are you growing every day in loving as God does? Are you? Is your love growing in resembling God's love? Friends, our love and commitments toward each other must not be like couples that are married and yet live in two separate houses. That's absurd, isn't it? If couples were married and committed to one another and they were living in different homes, that would be absurd. If we claim to be born again, then we must also forgive and reconcile with those in the church we purposefully avoid talking to. If we say we are children of God, we must show our love to the family of God by identifying with the family of God in baptism. I have to say, when I think about love and I think of the church, I think of the persecuted church. How does the persecuted church, people, believers in the persecuted world, show their love for one another? They show their love through what? Often through waters of baptism. Because by identifying with the church, for many of them, it costs them their own lives. They have to be baptized in secret. But they love the church so much, they want to identify with the church, and they obey God through the waters of baptism. If we say we love children of God, we must show this commitment and love, not only with words and prayers, but by visiting those who are hurting among us, inviting those on the fringe of church life in our homes. Not on our terms and when it suits us, but when it suits God. If you are like me, you know how you struggle to love as a follower of Jesus. And you are longing, because you are truly born again, you are longing to grow in love. So how do we grow in love? Well, it starts by being honest, confessing to God our failure to love others as we are meant to love. We must confess that we are failing to love as a member of God's family. So come to God honestly, because you know that Jesus has already taken all your sins and nail them to that cross, and that you bear them no more. So there's no shame in some sense of owning up that I failed to love this person. Come to him, because if you are born again, he has loved you already with an eternal love, and he has shed his life for your sins. So confession is the first thing. And confessing that to one another, being honest with one another, where we're struggling. And notice that John is reminding us constantly in this way. Why? Because we need the second thing to grow in love. What is that? We need to be people that are sitting under the preaching of God's word, that are studying the scriptures, that are in love with the scriptures, that want to know more about God. We are interested to know what is this amazing love of Christ. And it energizes us to study more about it, to sit under the preaching of God's word. And for us here, it means making a radical commitment to study the Bible every day, to come to church on Thursdays and sit together in our Bible study, but also to commit to coming to church in the evening, to want to sit under God's word in the evening because you love God and you're growing in love, so you want to know more about how to love. And this evening we'll explore verse 9 to verse 11 on how God loves us and why that is so key for us to grow in love. So if you want to grow in love, come and learn more about that love. See what 9 to 11 has to teach us about this amazing love of God. And above all, take steps to commit to life together here. If you're not if you're born again and you're not baptized, show your love through baptism. If you're already baptized but you're not a member, commit yourself to life here. Because that is how we demonstrate directly that we are loving other followers. And if you're already a member, our love must go beyond words. We will see this evening in verse 9 and 10 just how God loves us and how we are to love practically, laying down our lives for others. Amen.